Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. My name is Brandi Stankovic, and I'm an organizational development consultant, but I'm also an avid volunteer. I volunteer with lots of organizations, but one very special organization, and that is Aid for AIDS of Nevada. I've been working with them for probably around 5 years, and we have the opportunity today to talk to some really awesome people that work with that organization. But before we do, I'm going to frame the discussion and talk through our segments and things like that, because today's episode is called Volunteer to the Top. So our segments are built into three different kind of ways. We have learn, love, and kick ass. In the learn segment, it's a leadership, some challenge that you're having that you give to us, or something that I'm seeing with the businesses that I work with, or some issue that different leaders are facing. And we talk through that issue about what's happening. And then in the love section, it gives us an opportunity to talk to a subject matter expert, somebody to come in and talk about the relationships, how people make a difference in business, and how teamwork makes a difference. And then finally, in the kick-ass section, I give you the tools that you need to make a difference in your life, to start doing something differently. Because in execution really is where differentiation is created. Execution is everything. It's time to start making things happen. And I feel like today is the day. Today is the day for you to make a change in your life. And the things that we offer to you today is going to make a difference. You're going to go out there and make a change. So with that in mind, our conversation today is about volunteering to the top. And what I mean by that is two different sides. Volunteer to the top through volunteering from a philanthropic standpoint or charity, but also volunteering from the top from a get off your ass and realize that you can't always just get paid for everything that you do standpoint, right? And what I mean by that is I was having a conversation with a good friend just the other night about entrepreneurship. And he said that you aren't an entrepreneur until you've risked everything, until you've gone out and you've sacrificed it all. Said you aren't ready to be a leader until you've given yourself completely. And there's something to that. I say until you've volunteered your time, your energy, your money, whatever it takes, then you really aren't extending yourself. You aren't really giving yourself completely. And until you do that, you really aren't a leader, right? And so I think that becomes part of the leadership journey, and it certainly has been a big part of mine. And I am working with a vendor or business partner now who has just recently created their business, and we're going through a lot of the growing pains with them. And one of the things that I'm finding is that there's like this expectation that their clout is going to pull them through. And one of the things that I know is going to come back to bite them in the ass is the fact that it really isn't going to. You have to earn certain things, but I'm allowing them, in a sense, to experience some of that. You have to work for free. If somebody asks you to do something, say yes. Volunteer. Go for it. Be the person that says yes. Offer your services for free. Do it. Earn it. Be there. Because then eventually you're going to have that reputation and clout to say that you can easily charge for it because people know you're worth it. So the other side of that, of course, then, is this volunteering for the philanthropic. And so what I mean by that is volunteer for humility. One of the great things that we're going to learn about with talking to Aid for AIDS Nevada is this idea that the people that serve the organization and the people that they serve are needing and so thankful and blessed to be able to work with them. And so volunteering in that capacity creates this incredible humility that get over yourself, go be amongst people that need help and be able to give beyond what you do and beyond who you are and give back to communities that need it, whatever that means to you, whatever is right for you or the communities that you serve. I think also volunteering is an awesome opportunity for experience. If there's a skill that you want to improve or something that you want to experience that you have to build on, volunteer for it. So I don't care if it's working with kids or if it's event planning or or any sort of management like that, I'd imagine there's people out there that would love to have somebody do some of that for free, right? I mean, the whole concept of intern was one created to give college kids experience, but also to give businesses an opportunity to have work that doesn't cost them a lot of money, right? So it's a win-win on both sides. So I think that go out there for experience, and it also helps businesses as well. And finally, I think it's the idea of giving back to a community that you feel connected. And so identify a community out there that you want to give back to. And it doesn't have to be based around tragedy. So it doesn't have to be based around something that you've experienced or somebody close to you has experienced that you then have to go back to. It could be a school. It could be the hospital that you were born or your kids were born. See how you can go back. And even if the teacher that that taught your second grade class that changed your life is long gone, pick up the phone and call the school and say to them, what can I do to give back to you? And it might just be they could say to you, we are in desperate need of paper. And then you go, okay, and that's easy to do, right? I can get some paper or buy some paper or have a paper run at our organization or whatever. And obviously I'm being silly for sake of example, but you get the point, right? So a lot of times it's a lot easier than we think, and we don't make the call or make the ask. And really, volunteering brings that love. People say it's a stress release and it's all this, but really it's a passion for helping others. It's the idea of really reaching out and making a difference in another person's life. And a way that I've had the chance to make a difference in people's lives is working with my friends at Aid for AIDS of Nevada. Now, Aid for AIDS of Nevada provides support and advocacy for people living with and affected by HIV and AIDS in Southern Nevada. And I have a couple friends that I want to introduce you to. First, I have Garrett Padiani, who's the events director, as well as my good friend, and we've known each other a long time now, maybe 5 years, Antioco Carrillo, who's the executive director at AFAN. Welcome, you guys. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having
us.
I'm
glad you guys are here. So, Antioco, start us off. Tell us about AFAN a little bit, would you?
Well, first of all, thank you. You know, one of the things that I wanted to say before I start into AFAN is that we don't often pay attention to the volunteers as much as we should. And I'm so honored and so glad that you're just focusing this program specifically in volunteering, because as much thanks that as they receive, oftentimes I don't feel that they are really given the recognition that they all deserve. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we have run with a lot of volunteers since the inception of AFAN. AFAN has been in existence for 32 years.
Wow.
It was founded in 1984, and we had transformed through the times to adapt to the needs of the community as the epidemic, as the disease changes. We had created programs. We have adapted to them. We have created partnerships with other organizations, with other individuals. We have created volunteer programs that are very, very intense, specifically for some of the events. But we also have the other volunteers that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. We have interns or practicum students. Mm-hmm. And when I was having a struggle to provide services with less amount of money, and I had a high amount of individuals requesting services, I started contacting the university also to get some of the students to come. And when they give you 20 hours a week and you have two or three or four of them, it's two full-time positions that you don't have to pay. All you have to do is train them, supervise them.
Sure.
And it's a win-win situation.
It really
and
is.
At the end, you see the quality of individuals that come in.
Yeah, right.
And so we have been in existence since 1984. Like I said, we provide all the basic services that clients need, the supportive services. The medical services are sent somewhere else. But I have a team of energetic, fantastic, wonderful young individuals that work throughout. One of the oldest in the organization.
Yeah.
And working all the events, I have 20 staff members, and we have an average of 1,200 clients that are actively receiving services. And so it's always a very energetic and innovative place, not only in providing services, but also in how we begin to work in raising funds.
Sure.
And what do we do that sets us apart? And I think with that, the energy that you have from volunteers that come in refreshes and tells you what you can and cannot do, how you can modify your business to adapt to the changes. Because they're the ones that live in the outside. They're the ones that come and tell you what's happening out there.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, for us, I think it was years ago when I used to work in another organization, it was a challenge to change the culture mm-hmm. because the powers that be were not open to do that. Mm-hmm. And when we used to have interns and when we used to have volunteers, when they will finish their volunteering or their internship, I will sit with them and I will ask them, what suggestions would you give me?
Oh, so they give you feedback.
Yes. Tell me how you see us from the outside. And based on that, we started changing.
That's
because
great.
You're inside. You're on a daily basis
right.
seeing what
it's
you're
like
seeing.
Fresh eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you don't look at anything else from that perspective.
Sure.
And so the power of volunteering is enormous for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And I will suggest that anyone that listens to this show, mm-hmm. you know, really look at the possibility of volunteering in any level.
Yes.
And at any field.
So in your organization, then, you have volunteers, you said, from a university or that capacity, but you also have volunteers come in for different events. And that's something that you're managing, Garrett Wright, to major fundraising events, right? And the volunteers that come along with that.
Yeah.
So how important are volunteers to your events?
So when we have an event, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. Some people don't realize that there's, you know, elements that you have to really plan
mm-hmm.
and being able to have those extra hands long before the event happens, at the event, and then even after the event, just to like do some of the breakdown, the cleanup and all of that, it makes it so much easier for the two of us that are really doing a majority of the planning and work for the event. So
explain to anybody listening or watching the two main events that, or the two largest fundraising events that you guys have are what?
Yeah, we have our AIDS walk, which usually happens around in April,
mm-hmm.
and then our black and white party, which is coming up in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the black and white party is our largest attended event, and it's kind of has a reputation in town as being this over-the-top, crazy, avant-garde
best party. Best party in
yeah,
town,
best,
maybe?
It, you know what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there.
It, you know what? It was my favorite party,
mm-hmm.
and now that I get to plan it, like, how cool is that
mm-hmm.
that has come full circle?
Sure.
Yeah, so I started off as a sponsor through a magazine, and that allowed me to really get to know the organization,
mm-hmm.
and then now I get to plan my favorite party,
That's
and it's
cool.
so awesome. It's so awesome That's to cool. see it from the other side.
And so volunteers help you in the planning process and then also in the execution process, right?
Yeah, so the day of the event, we have people that are going to help us with check-in and with our silent auction and helping walk around, just making sure that our attendees, our sponsors, everyone is having a great time and really just keeping it organized. They're really the backbone of the event itself, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've been lucky enough to be your quote-unquote volunteer manager for mm-hmm. in these major events for the last few years, and the Black and White Party is probably one of the most fun and spectacular events, and I know the volunteers love to be involved in the entertainment because you have entertainers from all over the Strip, all the Strip shows and things that
yeah.
come to the show that participate, and they volunteer their time to be there as well, right?
Yeah, what's awesome about this is that the whole event is put together by people that really just want to be a part of the party mm-hmm. for all the right reasons, right? The entertainers donate their time. Even if there's people like our sponsors, right? They come in and they volunteer to give us their magazine ads and all mm-hmm. of that stuff. So it's not necessarily like always hands-on, but the important thing is that if you have a talent, whatever that talent might be,
mm-hmm.
if you can give that talent.
Mm-hmm.
So some people always think it's like you're in the trenches or hands-on mm-hmm. with the clients.
Right.
It's not. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's if you're a singer, mm-hmm. sing.
Right.
If you're a dancer, dance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a tech person, help us with tech. If you're lighting, sound, all of that goes into it. So.
If you're a doctor, if you have a business, give us a silent auction
item.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you part of this fantastic event that Garrett
yes.
is describing.
Yes.
And it also makes you feel like you're engaging in the community that you care about.
Absolutely. And I think, Annie, you brought up a really good point that volunteering is both sides of it. It's time and it could be money and whatever a person has to give, they can, right? In any organization.
Yes. And when you're looking at it, when you look at it from another perspective, a lot of the sponsors that we have, they come in and they volunteer their time. We've had them for many, many years and they love being part of this organization
mm-hmm.
in a form of volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for this event especially, we've been having a lot more people that are coming out of everywhere
mm-hmm.
trying to assist us with additional items
mm-hmm.
that we never thought we needed to have for
yeah.
silent
mm-hmm.
auctions, right? And so that's how they get into the spirit of volunteering, getting involved. It's not always about me.
Right.
It's about mm-hmm. another cause. And these guys are fantastic. Garrett and Andrew are fantastic at just coordinating the whole package.
Yes, definitely. So with all of these volunteer opportunities, all the different levels and the ways that people get involved at your organization, how does that make somebody a better leader?
Well, when you surround yourself with other people of the like mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of innately happens that you are surrounded by people that want to lift you up. And if you're around that environment, it's just natural that you're going to be surrounded by caring, loving others. And mm-hmm. that's really who we want to be around in life, right? Because that's what brings you to the top.
It so really you're does. Building relationships mm-hmm. with other leaders that are going after mm-hmm. passionate things and, yeah. and building each other. Any other, could you want to
but,
add to that?
But the power, I think, lies on, they come to you, let's say, for free. Mm-hmm. Because they want to give you something. Mm-hmm. And that is a great opportunity that you don't always have as a business owner or mm-hmm. as a director. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be able to see what skills, what talents they have. And it's an honor for them to bring it to you. And you want to be able to cultivate that and let it expand.
Sure.
And when you expand it, they themselves get very surprised as to how far they can get. Mm-hmm. And they begin to see the leadership skills that they probably don't see, mm-hmm. and you empower them and shape their skills. And, you know, I have to surround myself with people that are much more smarter than me. Otherwise, I will not be able to continue the organization according to mm-hmm. how I have it. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot think of going to their department and tell them how to run, you know, the event. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that teach me. Mm-hmm. And it's very humbling, but it also sends the message that they're the ones, the leader. They're the ones that are leaders. Mm-hmm. When they come into any organization and take the first step to do anything for the cause, for whatever it is, not themselves, they begin to realize that that sets them apart from the rest of their friends and people. Mm-hmm. Because that skill sets them into a direction of leadership.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. And I think that being around other, you know, people as well as building that fundamental part of their career, and it doesn't matter where somebody is in their career, right? So it could be somebody that's in a leadership capacity, or have you had some of the users of your services come back and want to give back as well? Do you have any stories in that realm of members?
Yeah, well, just recently I was introduced to one of our clients, and mm-hmm. she's open about her status, which mm-hmm. is also a very brave move.
Sure.
Her name is Connie, and she, at one time in her life, was at a point where she was living somewhere that wasn't so uplifting or, you know, giving her the tools she needed to succeed. She had heard about AFAN, moved here, mm-hmm. and started in our Mother, Sisters, Daughters program, wow. and now runs a blog and gives back wow. and is our face sometimes of the organization when we need somebody to tell their story. And even just being open and being vulnerable and being mm-hmm. willing to share her story lets other people lets others out there know that they can do the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that that in itself is really powerful too. So to see that full circle is also really
it's
beautiful.
Really neat. And your Mother's Daughter Sisters program, will you tell us a little bit about that?
It's ran by, it's an all-female mm-hmm. group, and that just gives women a chance to really meet other women, connect on a level that women would only know, mm-hmm. What it means to be a mother who is positive or a daughter who has a positive, you know, a relationship there. And I think that it's something that
they can share with
yeah,
one another.
Yeah, you can open up and share.
That affinity. Mm-hmm,
yeah. And that's I think that's really powerful in itself.
That's great. And
see, the distinction with HIV between uh-huh. males and females, general distinction, uh-huh. obviously. It, you know, typically when a male gets diagnosed, mm-hmm. you know, we're very focused on how we need to proceed with our care. Mm-hmm. And so we go on to the doctor to do whatever we need to do. And the psychiatrist, like we follow through with our care. Mm-hmm. There is no peripheral needs that we have to look at. Women think a little bit differently.
More the community.
Yes, because when they get diagnosed, now they have to think about their relationships. They have to think about their kids. They have to think about additional things that typically we don't. It's not that we don't think that way, mm-hmm. but they have it more in the forefront. And so when you need to get them into care or to mm-hmm. have access to services, it's much more difficult to grab them and to mm-hmm. get them involved because they have to think about childcare. They have mm-hmm. to think about school. And I have to do this before the kids get out of school. And typically, we don't think that way, males, right. at that level, right? So there was a need for us to create a program that allows them to come in, to share, to look at all those elements that make them unique. And luckily and thankfully, it has been working
for the
last several years. And they meet once a month.
And now you have somebody that's come from that program that's turning it back around and volunteering to be the face for you. So that's that volunteering coming back and coming full circle for you.
And as a leader.
That's amazing. As a leader, yeah, building those skills. So if somebody wanted to come be a volunteer for you, the final thing, how would they do that? Share that with us, please, well, Garrett.
We just launched our new website, mm-hmm. and there's a section on our website called Get Involved, mm-hmm. and it's right on the homepage. And you can actually just click volunteer, and there will be two green buttons. One is volunteer for the Black and White Party. That application's a little less strenuous. It just kind of asks you basic questions because, again, we're not exposing the status of our clients at that party.
Sure.
And the other one's a little more intense. It's to volunteer more direct with our agency, so to come and be hands-on. So we have to do a little bit more background checks and all that stuff.
And that's AFANLV.org.
.org.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you so much, Garrett and Anioko, for being here. I really appreciate it. All right. And let's go ahead and head out to our shout out.
What's up? It's your boy Liko. I'm a professional dancer, choreographer, and designer. You are listening to Brandy Stankovic on Strategic Hot Box. Peace out.
Thank you to Liko for that shout out. Liko is such an incredible dancer and choreographer. He was the winner of So You Think You Could Dance Grease. He was also on the Michael Jackson The Immortal Tour, and he just finished up Cirque Andorra, I believe. Someone who's certainly kicking ass and making things happen. You can follow him on Facebook or at Instagram at K_Liko. So thank you, Liko, for that shout out. So a quick question that we received from our followers, that for young leaders, what is a risk that's worth taking? And I wanted to answer this during the podcast today to just really field some of these questions. So thank you for those that are sending in information to us. So for young leaders, what is a risk worth taking? I believe the answer is a voice, but really it's an informed voice. And there's what I mean by that is there's nothing worse than having a young person use their opportunity to make a stand, to use that, to make say something, and then use that and make an uninformed claim that causes the tenured executives to be impatient or intolerant of what they say. So to make some claims, I mean, that's already been out there. So, you know your stuff. When I went through the doctoral process, I went through my dissertation process, the entire process is about teaching you that you're not as smart as anyone else, really, and that there's other people out there that have learned things prior to you. And that's an important process. And so once you go through that, then you respect the knowledge of other people and then have something to say, research it, and then give respect to it. But once you do, have a voice, an informed voice, an authentic voice, but speak up for what you believe in. So thank you for those that are submitting questions to us. So let's wrap it up today. And now it's time for us to kick some ass. So our first action, takeaway for today is to always say yes. When it comes to volunteering, we learned from our awesome guests today to always say yes, to get out there. I was saying from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you got to earn it, go after it, always say yes. Be out there and make things happen. And then the second action item is to volunteer for, and I put ... but something that you need more of. Maybe you need a little humility in your life. Maybe you need some skills or experience in, like event management or leadership or any of those things. Maybe you need a little love in your life. Maybe you need support. Maybe you need any of these things, but volunteer for that and go into that knowing that, right? Say, I need this, and then find a volunteer opportunity that'll fulfill that. Number three is to celebrate and to love. I think volunteering can create that, whether it's with your teams. We learned, that from how it creates internally from a cultural standpoint, but also externally, as you going after it and learning and building relationships in your community. Number four is ask how to give back to a community that helped you. I had my son at St. Rose here in Las Vegas, and I'm a huge supporter of Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And my son spent a very short time at the NICU. And so I was feeling like I really wanted to give back specifically to that NICU here in Southern Nevada. So I called him and I said, hey, what can I do to help you specifically besides writing a check to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals? And they said, you know what we need? We need some gently used toys in our you know little area for some of the kids that come through. And I'm like, done, right? So I have two little kids, as you know, two little beefers that have way too many damn toys that I'd be happy to off some of the toys that we have in our house. But it was also a really good experience for them to say, I'm giving some of these toys to kids that really deserve it or need it or going through something in their life. So it was a great opportunity for the whole family to go through this process. And all I had to do was pick up the phone and ask. The final one is to have a voice. So it comes with our question, but also when it comes to volunteering, to know what you want to say, to go out there and say it, but have an informed and voice and really stand up for what you believe in and have a voice. So that's our kick ass for today. So thank you very much for being a part of the Strategic Hot Box today. I want to thank friends at AFAN again for being here and chatting with us. I'm looking forward to the black and white party that's coming up a couple days. And when is it exactly?
The party happens on August 20th. It'll be at Aria Hotel and Casino.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
And it's going to be a good time. We have a lot of surprises that I don't want to spoil.
Surprises.
But it's new stuff.
So and we're here to dress crazy.
It's, yeah, dress as much black and white as you can,
okay,
or as little as you can get away with.
Okay. Oh, I love it. So for those that are a part of our podcast, we'd love for you to share your thoughts on Twitter or Instagram at Brandy Love, BrandiLuv. Or email podcast@strategichotbox.com. Be sure to add the show to your favorite RSS feed and we'll keep the episodes coming your way. You can download them, of course, at the Strategic Hot Box anytime. And then for any ongoing leadership development tools, you can get that at the Strategic Hot Box, or you can pick up a copy of my new book. It's called The Strategic MVP, co-written with Mark C. Thompson, and that's at any book retailer. So until next time, thank you very much and go kick some ass.